disperse immediately or you will be subject to arrest. Do it now.
A boss ain't nothing but a thief on a time loan. 128 bit war, you play Nintendo on some shooter, so put the bridge down and feed us to the killer bees. We get what we deserve, life. Bury me with my MP3s. Write my manifesto in 72 DPI. Life's just a game, you got cheated, never learn. I write these songs every bridge that ain't been burned. For every cop car that ain't.
Welcome to This Is America, February 26, 2019. In this episode, we hit resistance headlines and news. We then feature a special interview with anti-racist and anti-fascist organizers on Salt Lake City, Utah, where we talk about attempts by neo-Nazis and alt-right groups to make inroads on local campuses by carrying out various actions. We discuss the response from the wider community and how the group is mobilizing. All this and more, but first, let's get to the news. The strike by Oakland teachers continues into its fourth day. In solidarity, bus drivers have vowed not to cross picket lines as teachers and supporters are also blocking other vehicles from coming onto various campus sites. Workers from other unions have also joined the picket lines, although their union leaders have stated they face possible retribution for doing so. For an in-depth interview on the subject and why people should defend public education, an eye-level view of the evolving strike in Oakland, and the recuperative role of union bureaucrats, check out this podcast report from Classroom Struggle. We're going to play a clip now.
Right, so the strike is popular right now. That's important. People clearly know that the teachers are working hard and are completely underpaid, and it seems like people are also pretty clear that, like the slogan says, the teachers' working conditions are the students' learning conditions.
Yes.
So that's absolutely clear to people. But we want to be, you know, we're excited about this, and part of that excitement requires us to be sober and also thoughtful about what some of the potential difficulties are. So what are some of these difficulties? It seems like one of them is that, without wanting to sound like a wet blanket, I mean, you know, is that the CTA, the California Teachers Association, has historically played, you know, a problematic, let's say, role with regard to developing insurgent labor movement, you know?
Well, yeah. There's two things we have to deal with here. Along our road to human liberation, the working class is going to step into potholes and trip and fall. We're going to run out of gas sometimes. And sometimes there are going to be obstacles in that road that we have to overcome. Earlier in our broadcast, we talked about, historically, the general conservatizing role that trade union bureaucracies can play on intense social struggle and strikes. And so just understanding that that's a phenomenon that we have to deal with. It's nothing new. You know, it's not a wet blanket. It's part of the reality.
And it's not a personal thing.
That's right. Now, so there's two problems here. Number one, along that road to human liberation, the class tries to unite itself, because that is everybody knows there's strength in unity. When we stand together, no one can stop us.
In some funny alt-right implosion news, Chris Cantwell, who even your friends at work probably know as the crying Nazi.
I've been told that there's a warrant out for my arrest. And they said that they wouldn't confirm it, but that I could find this out if I, excuse me.
Recently reached out to a journalist, Jared Holt at Right Wing Watch, asking if he could funnel information to him in order to get various other alt-right movement luminaries on YouTube removed. Many anti-fascist researchers believe that Cantwell was in fact referring to Richard Spencer. In New York, members of the Revolutionary Abolitionist Movement, or RAM, were out in the streets as part of a wider mobilization against the U.S.'s ongoing attempts to launch a coup in Venezuela. Recently, Vice President Mike Pence has met with the far-right opposition to the Maduro government as tensions are building. Neo-Confederates attempted to come back to Chapel Hill in North Carolina Saturday, but were largely shut down. People on the ground report that they were outnumbered 10-1 and were quickly driven off campus and drowned out by chants.
Go home, racist! Go home, racist! Go home, racist!
This attempt of a rally marks only the latest by white nationalist militia and neo-Confederate groups to rally in the area. in Brooklyn outlived them. NYC mobilized a solidarity event in response to a local synagogue having its windows broken out. In LA, a group calling themselves Soldiers of the Pole launched a wildcat strike at the popular Crazy Girls strip club, demanding better wages and an end to sexual harassment. Workers say they're also pushing for a unionization campaign. The strike comes after workers of the club were moved from independent contractors to workers, a move which dancers say was retaliated against by bosses who began taking the majority of their tips. Appalachians Against Pipelines in so-called Virginia is now celebrating a record 175 days in the trees, blocking the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. Check out their Facebook page for more information, daily updates, and a link to buy brand new support t-shirts. Clashes and the burning of police cars broke out in Mohawk territory after police raided cannabis dispensaries.
They taste like burning!
Protests continued outside of Corcoran Prison in Central California against staged fights by guards in solidarity with the hunger strike. IOWOC reports that more demonstrations outside of other prisons are also planned. See a link in our show notes for more info. Anti-Colonial Land Defense continues to fight the Line 3 pipeline. According to social media reports, blockades have recently got up against logging trucks, and be sure to check out the awesome video in our show notes from a protest against the Army Corps of Engineers. The group wrote in a recent communique, "Folks from multiple affinity groups gather tonight to act out against the Army Corps of Engineers, a colonial institution that serves the purpose of building genocidal infrastructure on stolen land. The Army Corps of Engineers has the ability to stop the pipeline, so we went out and told them and passersby that Line 3 is genocide and needs to be stopped." In Mexico, miners and Walmart workers have now joined the growing Matamoros strike, which began with Maquiladoras workers. This weekend, strikes also broke out at a Coca-Cola plant. The strike calls for a 20% raise and has disrupted supply chains across North America. Matamoros workers are also calling on workers in the U.S. and Canada to strike in solidarity against common class enemies.
The wall. Everybody's talking about the wall. They ask me, "Hey, how do you feel about the wall?" I say, "You know what? We'll get over it."
Lastly, workers with the Burgerville Workers Union are calling on supporters to participate in a call-in campaign after one of their co-workers was fired for organizing activity. According to the Burgerville Workers Union, one worker spoke at a labor event about corporate surveillance and repression against labor organizing, which was then followed by faith leaders organizing a protest at a Burgerville store in solidarity. In response, one worker was fired. To read more about the call-in campaign and to check out the number, see our show notes. Until next time, enjoy the interview and we will see you soon. Introduce the group real quick.
We go by SLAM, which stands for Salt Lake Activist Mobilization. We're an anti-fascist mobilization of local faculty and students and just community members, you know, various races, genders, citizenship, non-citizenship status, and more than a coalition, I guess, we're a call to action here in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Awesome. And let's just kind of go back to the start of where the group started. What's been happening on the campuses there? We know that Identity Europa and now Patriot Front have been active. If you can just kind of take us back to the beginning, so to speak, of when these groups started to become active on the campuses. What happened?
All right. Well, for the past few months, we've actually been seeing just flyers around the campus, some Patriot Front flyers. At one point, they hit the Boys and Girls Club, which is wild because that's, you know, children go there. But I guess that's kind of their tactics. And yeah, they've been just doing that for a bit now. But on February 9th, they decided to engage in a bunch of different actions by dropping this banner that said "Defend the Rockies, End Immigration." As well as another banner that said "Make America Beautiful Again," which they spun as a pro-environmental message, arguing that I guess white supremacy brings a healthy environment to a country, which I don't know what that means. And yeah, they deployed some smoke flares, and yeah, they've just been coming over, dropping banners and flyering. And the most recent action that Identity Europa specifically did was that was a February 9th action.
I was just gonna say, I know their leader Patrick Casey, or McLovin as we referringly call him. he literally got on a plane like a big boy and flew all the way over there with other people to to put up a banner, and then I believe the police came or somebody else and they ran away. Which is funny because they said in the article there, like, we would have just told them they were trespassing, but they still ran. But anyway.
They were bragging about how they had such a huge presence the whole 10 minutes that they held the banner. So we were also really confused about that, too.
Did students see them, or it was just, like, something for the internet that they were going to record?
It was just for the internet. They had drones and media crews, and they set up for 10, 15 minutes and left, and nobody knew they were there until they posted shit about it.
Are the drones white?
Good question.
Wow. So no one could actually... How did the police see them?
I think that maybe they were seen... the access to the trail that they were on, I think you go through private property that there's like some kind of easement on or something. So they were noticed, I think, as a group of people walking towards this big U on the side of the mountain. But I don't think that they were noticed because of what they were doing necessarily. Because they were just this group that walked up there, and all of a sudden there were flares, and then they were gone.
Wow. So they didn't like stop the flow of campus life, and everyone was like, oh my Lord. And
no,
okay.
It's on a hill up above campus. So I don't even know, like, you can see.
It was on a weekend. They didn't even, it was not a disruption. It really was just media.
Yeah.
Like it was on Saturday, I think Saturday morning and afternoon, and then Sunday morning,
yes,
they did a little thing. That's it.
They did the one on the block U, and then the other one they dropped the Make America Beautiful Again over a freeway, which obviously people saw that, but that only lasted 15 minutes too, and they took some photos and then left.
Did they take the banner with them, or did they leave it up?
No, they took it with them.
Oh, they didn't leave it there? They took it with them?
No, they, as far as I know, they bring their banners and then take them with them. They don't ever leave them anywhere.
Oh, wow, because they learn their lesson because people take them down.
Yeah.
And they burn them.
Yeah.
And they're like, there goes
years
worth,
like,
of Identity Europa dues.
These are like digitally printed banners and shit. It's like...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, they did the block U, the over the freeway, and then there's another spot called This Is the Place Monument, which is where they say Brigham Young got to the valley and said, this is the place for the Mormons, we're going to live here. And so Identity Europa decided to use that as their one of their rallying points to say this is the place for them as well.
Which, I mean, obviously has extreme political and racial connotations of conquest, you know.
Yeah.
Because there were Native people that were living in the area. And there was something that happened to them, and for them to say, like, you know, basically we're going to do the same thing to everybody else.
Right.
Well, because in the article that was published, I think in like the student or local newspaper, McLovin or Patrick Casey, as he likes to call himself, he was like, we're going to keep coming back to Utah and, you know, no one will stop us as long as we get 10 minutes to take a picture of a banner with a drone and like no one. And so I'm just curious. I mean, what how did students react after that?
I mean, everyone's pissed. Like,
yeah.
I think it's really funny that, like you said, you know, he really came over here, just posted out some shit, and then left. And I think it's really dumb to assume that the community is not going to respond. I mean, even trying to argue that that their healthy environment comes from identitarianism. Like, it's most of the environmental activists here are Native Americans. Most everyone that organizes here for the environment, it does identify as either indigenous or migrant. A lot of folks here have been building really healthy, beautiful coalitions for the past few years. And you know, someone comes to our hood, I mean, we're gonna kick them out. We don't really like Nazis here,
right? Why do you feel, because it seemed like they were trying to say, like, I don't know, like they were trying to like push back against whatever the school was saying. Like, they seemed to have a bone to pick with the university itself. Like,
yeah.
They wanted to keep coming back. I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, they, so I think it was in September or something is they first showed up with a little flyering and stickering campaign. And that got the attention of the U, and they put out a statement basically saying that Identity Europa is a hate group and we don't appreciate their message. And basically telling them they're not welcome on campus. And so this partially was a response to that, to the university condemning them. So they're basically like, oh, you want to condemn us? Well, we're coming back.
For 10 minutes,
yeah. So it is interesting that they already are operating on a reaction, which, you know, like, maybe they will try some more shit because we have responded, you know?
Well, let's talk about that. So they showed up, they did their thing, it got in the media, which is, I mean, that's, like, if you read Patriot Front materials, if you read their organizing guides, like, that's exactly what they want. They're like, go to a campus far away from where you live, so if you get arrested, if it gets in the local news, hopefully it won't blow over on you. You know, put up some flyers, and then wait for the media to cover it, and to them, that's success. And, you know, I mean, Identity Europa follows pretty much the same model. And so how did people respond after that? How did the organizing actually begin?
Well, like I mentioned, you know, we're, a lot of us are non-citizens, you know, undocumented folks. So, and we've been organizing together for many, many years in many different aspects. So it was really quick. I think my phone was blowing up within the first day with people, you know, asking like, hey, how are you feeling? What do you want to do? A lot of folks were tweeting the responses, you know, like, it's obvious that you did this out of fear because you didn't even show your face. You know, you came here for 10 minutes, then dipped. So folks organized really, really fast, a rapid response flyering by putting up flyers at the university, you know, just countering that narrative. But also taking care of the undocumented students there, you know, putting up some media that said, basically, you belong here, you know, just know that we have your back. There were some banner drops throughout the week. It's only been 2 weeks since this happened, and there's already been multiple banner drops across the city. Some of them were organized by SLAM, but some of them were not, you know. It's been really exciting, actually, seeing the community rise up. And even though, you know, recently, even the flyers that happened at the second university at Salt Lake Community College, even then, those students are also organizing. So the response has been really positive, I feel, from both the students, but also just the local community here in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, listening to their podcasts and seeing what they write and stuff, I don't think they really understand how this stuff works. It's because, I mean, their mathematics is that, you know, we'll do this, we'll quote trigger some people, and then we'll get in the media, and then, you know, little Timmy's going to email us and be like, you know, I hate brown people, and then he'll join us. But it's like, yeah, but you do that, and then 100 people come out to our shit.
Right.
And we make all these networks, and suddenly little Timmy is all by himself in a really big sea of people that just got organized.
Right. And I think that one of our reasons for creating SLAM is so that we can, as a community, kind of say in a unified voice how we feel about this. Like, we can say we can come together as these different groups that have already been organizing and already been putting in work, but we can say something together, which I think shows them that, like, this isn't just like some kids that are pissed. Like, this is an entire community of people who are ready to do the work and are ready to say fuck fascism, fuck Nazis, like, get the fuck out of our community, from many different angles, you know? And that's kind of why we did this, is so that we could create almost a rapid response to situations like this and have a way for a network of groups to come together really quickly.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. It's just people that can, you know, really quickly take that stuff down and then put up other stuff, and you know, just makes them look really weak ultimately.
Yeah, and I mean, they are weak.
They are.
Not only that, but I think it's funny that they are trying this in Salt Lake City, because, you know, Salt Lake City is anti-fascist as fuck. Like, this is a city where we thrive on knowing our community, on checking in on each other, and also on fighting back. You know, this is not a community that takes these things lightly. From DIY venues to punk shows, you know, there's so much community here that already has been organizing on various other issues, you know, that for us to think that fascists are just going to come in here and really try to push these narratives onto us, it's like, nah, not here. We're just going to keep fighting back. And if anything, we think this is a really good opportunity for us to just show them how hard we can go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's true, too, about Salt Lake, is that we do have a history of almost, you know, specifically in the punk scene, hardcore scene, we have a history of anti-fascism that doesn't necessarily have political roots in some ways. It has a lot of kids have learned it through these different radical, like, underground cultures and scenes. And it's been around for a really long time. And it really shows when shit like this happens that there's voices that kind of come out of the woodwork.
Right.
And there's, like, business owners, you know, there's like people that aren't necessarily on the front lines all the time, but this has caused them to use their voice. And it's pretty cool to see in some ways, like, how many people really are fucking ready to fight back.
I wanted to ask, what's the dynamic with just, like, you know, quote unquote average Trump supporters on the campus? Like, when something like this happens, I mean, obviously they're not like a whole, they're not all the same, but insofar as they're, like, walking around with a red hat on or actively supporting Trump or something like that, or they're known to be conservative. Like, how do they kind of respond to something like this? Are they like free speech, bro? Like, kind of like creating a blanket of tacit support to this stuff because they're sympathetic maybe to the alt-right in some ways, or are they, that's kind of like where they draw the line?
I'd almost say that, yeah, that's kind of where they draw the line. But I think that there's a lot of quietness. Like, I think that maybe people realize that this isn't the kind of shit you want to show your face when you're talking about. And so maybe we haven't seen any sort of like support from that group because of that, because they've seen our response. And it's not like they can leave campus, you know, like they live here.
Right.
Yeah, it's very normal for us to see here at our protests. We never really see any sort of white supremacists, whatever. And it's really rare. But when we do see them, it's really just normal to just see like five of them or even one guy. Kind of screaming at the crowd. And yeah. It's really funny because then, you know, usually the community responds really quickly and says, all right, well, here you go. Let's talk about it. Or even some folks like, what, you got something to say? And usually they run away. So
yeah. This
is not, yeah, it's not something that they're showing their faces much here.
And there are like student groups on campus that maybe, I don't want to say like they have shown support for this shit, but they have definitely like nudged at it or something, like hinted at these ideas in subtle ways. I think that there have been like movie showings in the past. There's sort of been some events that aren't necessarily like, yeah, we stand behind this, but more of like, let's have a discussion about this. And that's sort of how they show their support for that rhetoric, is by continuing the discussion, but not necessarily taking a stance on it.
Right.
Which is, I don't know how you combat that or what you can say to that. Cause they're not taking a stance either. They're obviously scared.
Right. Well, I mean, so many groups like, you know, Turning Point USA, for instance, is a good example. Yeah. I mean, they benefit from the alt-right, you know, pushing the window so far, because then they can kind of come in and be like, hey, we're like the Koch brothers, you know,
right,
light version. So, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask, for anybody that's listening to this, that's out of school and something like this is happening, what advice would you give to them if they wake up tomorrow and they go to class and they see a poster or a sticker up at their campus? What advice would you say to them and how they should proceed?
I think the advice I would give is tear that shit down. First, like, just fucking take it down. Like, no one's going to tell you shit. You know, that's what we've been doing over at Slate. We've just been like looking for those fucking flyers and just taking that shit down. And no one fucking walks up to us and tells us shit. We just take it down. We throw that shit in the trash and we get to class, you know. Like,
I would definitely say talk about it too. Like, the discussions that we've created, that we've had sort of through all of this, have been incredible, you know, and the gathering of community that we've seen sort of based on our response has been really cool. And I definitely think that, like, if this shit happens in your community, the best thing you can do is talk to your neighbors, talk to your homies, talk to the people that are close to you, because they're going to support you and they're going to fucking want to fight back. And it's going to create a stronger community if you do that.
Yeah. Look for your people, you know, like, look for people that like give a fuck, you know, like, you know, tengas miedo, don't be afraid, you know, don't be afraid to talk about that shit. Cause that's what community's for. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got you, like, shit. I don't even care where you are. Like, you could send us a message and we're all the way in Salt Lake City and we got you, you know? Like, fuck, they can fly out. We'll fly out too. We got playbook. We already crossed borders. We can cross over wherever the fuck we want.
What I think is also interesting too about, like, if you look at Identity Europa's campaign, like, I think this was even mentioned in one of the recent articles from the campus, from the campus press, but I think some administration person was saying, like, the messaging is not that crazy, because, I mean, it's pretty much just run-of-the-mill MAGA or Tucker Carlson rhetoric. It's just, you know, end immigration, blah, blah, blah. Like, the only thing in terms of what they're saying, you know, the words itself is that it's obviously connected to a neo-Nazi group. You know, it's not like, you know, gas everybody and put them in a cattle car or something like that. It's just pretty basic Trumpian talking points. So I think that there's also a conversation to be had that, like, look, like, the regime is already setting, you know, the bar, and these people are running to catch up with Trump, and they're working together. You know, this auxiliary group on the ground is actively working to support this billionaire that's screwing all of us over through tax cuts and everything else. You know, with these, you know, racist white supremacist politics that end up benefiting the ruling class. So I think that's a good conversation to have as well, and that's an opportunity to not only talk about Nazis, but also just structural white supremacy and also, you know, the person that's in the White House.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't like Trump here either. I mean, shit. They try to come over here, drop banners. I don't know who they're trying to recruit. Again, the people that they're trying to recruit are scared hiding behind their beds, so I don't know if they're going to mobilize, you know? Cause, well,
I think they have a perception that Salt Lake City is, like, just a super white conservative area.
Nah.
Yeah. Well, they talked about this in their podcast, too. They sort of had a weird misconception about Mormons and sort of this assumption that every Mormon is sort of a racist person, which I understand that assumption 100%, but it turns out to not be true.
Now we got, oh my gosh, the first week we had Mormon moms hitting us up and being like, you want to drop a banner against these Nazis? We got you, you know? Like, we got everyone under cat, you know, being like, where are we dropping the anti-Nazi banner at? They really, like I said, wrong community. Nope.
Giant banners, John Smith is Antifa.
Yeah, and you know, I think that they see it as the only people that care about immigrants or, you know, queer folks or the environment. Like, they just have this weird notion that those people must not be, you know, here. But it's, I don't know, we've got immigrant families, we've got, you know, people, we've got artists, we've got writers, we've got people from all corners of the city here. And I mean, there were some Proud Boys that were trying to get tattoos at the local tattoo shop, and they got run out by the owner because he was like, nope, not in this shop. And that's what I'm saying.
I think that's what's really interesting about this period is that the level of understanding for a lot of these groups, I mean, even like the Proud Boys, which, you know, on their face have tried to present themselves as like, you know, we're multiracial, we don't have a problem with gay people. Like, that's how they've tried to present themselves, but yet, like, I don't know if you saw that video of, like, just random people outside of a bar, and some guy has, like, a Proud Boy shirt on, and then all of a sudden people are just beating the shit out of him. It's like, you would never have expected that. It's like, but this stuff has, I feel like, just the base level of understanding of what these groups are, what they represent, the symbols they use, kind of just, like, the opacity that they try to use to try to, like, kind of slide by and just kind of, you know, get by without people really understanding where they're coming from or the real scene that they're coming out of. Like, that opacity has just been totally obliterated. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's like, you know, it's like, you're not fooling anybody. Be like, you know, we're like Identity Politics but for Europeans. Like, like, everybody knows that you're just repackaged white nationalism, neo-Nazism, you know, with skinny jeans and, you know, a dumb polo. Like, everybody gets it. Like, people understand what you've tried to do, but it didn't work.
And I honestly think that them showing up in Salt Lake kind of proves that they're scared, and that people, I mean, they've been getting kicked the fuck out of everywhere else they go, and they're like, oh, well, let's try this place, Utah. We've never been there. They're quiet.
I hear the whites are there.
Yeah, there's whites are there. It's like, but no, like, no, you guys are going to get kicked the fuck out of everywhere you go because you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, again, it also, I mean, it just shows, like, in the end, like, how disconnected they are from white people, you know?
In general, where they're like, white people don't even know white people.
That's like, what we will go to the land of Utah, build the Europe there. Well, just going forward, what's next for the group? What do you all have? Any place that you're trying to grow to, or anything you got going on in the upcoming events, or just in general, anything you want to say?
There's a block the wall rally. Block the wall rally tomorrow that we're excited to kind of like go and link up with the community and like be a part of that shit tomorrow. And I mean, obviously that's not a very long step, but that's tomorrow. But we're definitely like starting to plan some more stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say, we've been checking in with, some of the local immigrant youth and, you know, just making sure that they're okay, and they're also feeling excited to flyer some more. We're also talking about having a concert here in Salt Lake City, just an anti-fascist punk concert, sometime around May Day. We're not really sure what to call it yet. We've been throwing around titles such as Fucking Tight Party or some shit like that. but yeah, we're planning events, we're really planning rallies and just trying to fight back here.
Yeah, we want to definitely be a voice in Salt Lake and a rallying point, a point where different groups and different people can come together under an umbrella of this idea of resisting fascism and resisting white supremacy.
Awesome. And again, we encourage people, if you go to It's Going Down, you search Identity Europa, you will find, we have a couple zines. They're over a year old now, but they have a lot of good information. And we have posters and stickers directly about IE that you can print out and put up in their place. And thanks so much for joining us. Anything else you want to say?
Thank you. We definitely appreciate everything y'all are doing and for letting us come on and hear what we have to say.
Yeah, thank you for all your work. Y'all are badass.
Well, one day we'll have to come to your campus for 10 minutes and find some. Just kidding.
Take it 20 minutes.
20 minutes, there you go. Maybe if we're feeling lucky. All right, thanks so much. This has been the It's Going Down podcast. Check itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, columns, action reports, and news. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop to support us. And follow us on all social media platforms. IGD, your daily resource for insurgent proletarian life.